Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. From verse 13. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing any more, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peg measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and so teaches others shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be guilty before the supreme court. And whoever shall say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. If therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, in order that your opponent may not deliver you to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you shall not come out of there until you have paid the last cent. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off, throw it from you. For it is better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for your whole body to go into hell. And it was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the cause of unchastity, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, or for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no, and anything beyond these is of evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist him who is evil. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. And whoever shall force you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Amen. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this morning. We just ask you for the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us and convict our hearts. And we just thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Jesus begins this teaching, and he says to us and the disciples and the people that are listening, he says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." He's talking to his disciples, and he's also talking to the Jews, right? The people that were supposed to be salt and light into the world. You know, God's plan, whole plan with Abraham was that he would bless Abraham so that Abraham would be a blessing to the nations and help them come into the presence of God. And they were, they weren't doing a very good job, as we all know, right? They got very self-centered on their own nation and trying to build their own kingdom. And they missed the whole point. So he's teaching to them, saying, hey, this is not why you're the chosen people. It wasn't just for your benefit. It's for you to be a light and be a salt unto the earth. But this goes very well along the lines of what P. Sam was sharing with us yesterday, right? I don't know if you made it to EMP yesterday, but he basically challenged us and said, you know, because we had the prophetic conference and things are really happening, and it was such a good time for us to really learn to hear from God and to be in the presence of God. But he just exhorted us basically and said, if we do not focus on reaching out to the others, basically evangelizing and bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to other people, and if we don't get hungry and desperate to hear God's voice for the purpose of sharing the love of Jesus with other people, with the world, then we would have missed the point. And not to say that it's not good to really seek the presence of God and to really seek to hear the voice of God for our own good, because there is the joy, right? I mean, the ecstasy almost, even just being in the presence of God and really enjoying his presence. And that's what he created us for, and that's what he saved us for, to really enjoy him and to be in his presence. But along with that, he also wants us, he also sends us out, right, to be salt and light. And he wants us to take this gospel and this good news that we have of this relationship that we have in Jesus Christ, and he wants us to be a salt and light into the world. And so, yeah, I think it's just something that God's speaking to us, right? Repetition. We learned from the weekend that repetition is something that God uses to speak to us. For me, in another passage that I was in personal quiet time, it was the Mark passage where the demonized man gets set free and he wants to follow. He wants to be with Jesus Christ. But Jesus says, no, you go back to your home village and tell everyone the great things that the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And again, I was like, you know, because we want to focus on, now that we're saved, we want to just enjoy the presence of Jesus, be with Jesus all the time, and just, you know, love him. I mean, which is great, which is what he saved us for, and he meant it to be this way. But I think along with that purpose, purpose of saving us, I think the other purpose is that he wants us to go and make disciples of all nations, right? And he promises us that, hey, I'll be with you wherever you go. So that's the first part of this passage today. And then down in verse 20 is an interesting passage. From verse 17, really, he says, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and so teaches others shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus here teaches, and he's talking, he's talking to the Jews, right? They're very obedient to the law, and they take the law very, very seriously. And in their mind, how to enter the kingdom of heaven is by obeying the law and by being good and doing all the good that they can. And so Jesus comes and says to them, you know, I did not come to abolish it, but to fulfill it. And in 18, he says, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law, until all is accomplished. You know, I believe here that Jesus is talking about himself. You know, because we know just from our teachings, from being at church, we know that no one in the history of the world has been able to accomplish the law or to fulfill the law except for Jesus Christ himself, right? So he says, the law will not pass away until everything is accomplished, and really he's the one that accomplishes it all. And then in 19, he says, whoever annuls one of the least of these teachings and so teaches others shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Who is the one that keeps and teaches the law? I mean, as much as we try to be good and try to be an example and try to be righteous, none of us can keep the law perfectly and teach them perfectly, except for Jesus Christ himself. So again, I believe here he's talking about himself, saying, whoever keeps and teaches the law shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And he says, for I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. So if this is all we have, it's quite a sobering message. You know, if your righteousness is not as great or not as, it doesn't surpass that of the Pharisees and the scribes, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And, I mean, how many of us can say our righteousness, you know, the way we live our lives every single day is better or more righteous than the Pharisees? I did a quick Google search a few weeks ago. I think they have some 600 different things that they had to keep, 600 different little laws that they had to keep to be righteous and to be good in their mind. But Jesus says, unless your righteousness is higher than that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you're not going to make it. And then he goes on from verse 21 to tell us how our righteousness can be higher than that of the Pharisees. Right? Because he says, you know, you've heard it said. This is what the Pharisees are doing. This is what the law tells you to do. But the requirement that God is making for you is actually higher. If you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you better not just not commit murder, but you know, even if you hate somebody, you've already blown it. You're already too bad to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, you've heard it said that you shouldn't commit adultery, but really, if you think about a woman in a certain way, you've already blown it, and there's no way you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And you've heard it said, you know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But really, what God is looking for is that you forgive people, that you love your enemies. And then he goes down in verse 48. He says, you're to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, I believe in this passage that Jesus is really, he's setting us up, basically. He's setting us up for the gospel that he is giving to us. Because he's really teaching us, you know, your righteousness, because this is how you enter into the kingdom of heaven. You don't enter into the kingdom of heaven because God is a loving God and he just loves people and he just wants them to come into the kingdom of heaven. That is not quite the gospel, you know. He loves people and he wants them to come into the kingdom of heaven, but it's not possible for anyone to enter into the kingdom of heaven unless that person's righteousness is good enough. Unless that person's righteousness is perfect, that person cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So what this passage does for us is it makes us realize, man, we are not perfect, and our righteousness is not as good as the Pharisees. And how are we going to ever make it into the kingdom of heaven? And it just brings us to a point where we say, we cannot do this on our own. There is nothing that we can do, and we're just not good enough. And then we realize later on In Romans chapter 5, we don't have time to read it, but Paul talks about the gift of righteousness that comes from God. And I believe this gift of righteousness is the righteousness that Jesus Christ was able to fulfill. When here he says your righteousness needs to surpass that of the Pharisees, or you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, that kind of righteousness only Jesus Christ was able to live, and only Jesus Christ was able to have. Only he was the perfect man here on this earth. But what the gift of righteousness does in Romans chapter 5 that Paul talks about is that the righteousness that Jesus Christ was able to have on this earth is given to us as a gift so that we have the righteousness of God as we enter, and we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's not by our works. It's not by our righteousness. So when we read this passage, we don't have to think, oh man, I better make sure I keep this. I better make sure I obey this, or I'm not going to enter the kingdom of heaven, because that is not what's intended here. This is intended for us to know that this is the heart of God. This is what God wants, right? God, and really, if you look at the passage from 21 to the end of the chapter, God's saying, I'm not looking at the outward, I'm looking at the heart. I'm looking at your heart issue. And I want your heart to be sold out for me, and I want your heart to be pure and holy and righteous and loving and merciful. But this is what God wants. But this passage is not saying, if you don't do this, you're not going to make it. This is required, but Jesus lived it, and he's giving it to us as a free gift. And that's the gospel, and we receive it, then we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. But I just think the sad thing sometimes is we just take it for granted. You know, we've heard it so many times, and it doesn't move our hearts, and it doesn't get us anywhere. We're just like, yeah, that's true. And we just kind of leave it at that. So I just, this morning, as Sam leads us in a song of worship, let's think about the gospel, meditate upon the gospel. And I've heard this illustration, right, this story. There was a pastor talking to a Korean lady. I don't know why it's specific that he's a Korean lady, but he's talking to a Korean lady, and he's saying, and he's basically explaining the gospel to her. And she says, so you're telling me that it's not anything that I do to earn like this favor from God, but that it's completely by what Jesus Christ has done and by his mercy. And so the pastor says, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And she says, well then, you know what that means? That means that I have to give my everything to him. So here's her logic. She's saying, if somehow I can work to be good enough and to earn some kind of righteousness and to earn some kind of favor from God, then she has a right to tell God, hey, no, this is what I did, and this is my work, and this is, I worked hard for this, so I deserve this blessing, and you better not make me do anything else. You better not call me to do any more, because I've done my righteousness to earn this kind of favor from you. This is kind of the mindset that we have as natural people. We say, yeah, we've done enough. I've done my fasting, Lord. I've done my good deeds. I've done my evangelism for today. So you better bless me. So you better be good to me. So you better do this. So that's the earning kind of mentality. And she's saying, yeah, if it works like that, then I have some kind of power, so to speak, to say to God, no, I did my part. You know, I did my good job, so you better bless me. But she's saying, but if it's not like that, and if it's, I'm completely helpless, and I can't do anything, but God in his mercy died for me so that I can come into the kingdom of heaven and I can be in his presence, then really that means I don't have any power or any negotiating say in my relationship with God. Really, my everything needs to be given to him, because it's not a earning relationship. It's not a working out, you know, work to earn your salvation kind of thing. But really, it's completely at the mercy of God. And he has done everything to make this way for me. And really, that means, it doesn't mean that I can abuse it or forget about it, but it really means, man, I better give my everything. I owe my everything to this man. Jesus Christ because he did everything for me, kind of thing, right? And I think we have to meditate upon that for a while to really let that sink in. And I've been meditating upon that thought as well since I heard it. And I think it's true, you know. We really owe him our everything because of what he has done for us. And so let's just meditate upon the gospel and let's ask. I'm just going to invite the presence of God to really come. Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit. I just pray that you would come and speak to our hearts. I thank you, Father God, that your desire for us is infinite and that you're so committed to us, Lord. And even when we are not committed, even when we are failing, God, you invite us into your presence and you do not shun us, God, because we're righteous, God, in your sight, just by believing in Jesus. So help us to enter into your presence today and come meet with us, God. I thank you, Lord.
Choose to be holy.
Thank you, Lord. Help us to be set apart for you, ready to do your will. To out of love for you and thank you, Father. This morning, let's pray together. Let's pray for our pastoral staff. This morning, I received a text, first from Pastor Sam, that he cannot make EMP. He's getting sick. And from Kenny, that he was coughing. He was up all night coughing, and he's sick, and he can't make EMP. And you know how on Sunday we got angry because the devil was messing with our pastoral staff, our Pastor Sam Kim, and we really prayed and contended for healing to come for our pastoral staff and just for God's protection. Let's do that again this morning. Let's really pray for our senior pastor, Pastor Sam, and also our service coordinator, Kenny. Let's really pray that God's presence would come, God's healing power will come, and that he would heal our pastoral staff. So let's pray together and just lift up Pastor Sam and Kenny. Thank you. And let's also pray. Let's pray for Hong Kong, the city that God has placed us in. Let's pray just for God's purposes to be done here in this city. And let's pray that we as a church would find our place and our ministry here in the city in terms of our outreaches and stuff like that. And let's pray for the ministries here that we are already in partnership with. Let's pray for Shanti Ministry, which is Godwin's ministry in Yunlong, reaching out to the Nepalese and just the Nepalese, Indian, and Pakistani community there. Let's pray just for God's favor and blessing. Let's pray for Zheng Sheng College, who minister to students, right, who had a drug problem. Let's pray that God really blesses this ministry and this school. Let's pray for Sports Services International. Let's pray that God would really use them as well to really bring the love of Jesus to the people in Hong Kong. Let's pray for face-to-face ministries with Pastor Jimmy. Let's pray for just continued anointing and favor from God. And let's cover just all the churches here in Hong Kong, all the international and the local churches that you know of. Let's just pray God's blessing over them and God's anointing, and that the church in Hong Kong will be united to really do the work of God here in the city. So let's pray together for Hong Kong. Lastly, let's pray for our church. Let's pray for our building search. And also, let's pray for our church people. I believe many people have been touched this past weekend, and God's speaking to them, and God's doing something in their hearts. Let's just bless that whole process, and let's pray for God's clarity and just God's presence with them throughout the week, as well as they try to really apply what we learned on Sunday or this past weekend. So let's pray for our church people and our building search. Let's pray that God would lead us in that area. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the love that you have for us individually, God, and for us as a church. And help us to really love you, God, in response to the love that you've shown to us. And be with us today. I just bless everyone here today with your presence and your peace and the joy of the Lord upon them. And help us to live today for your glory, to really walk with you wherever we go today. I thank you that your presence is with us all the time. We want to pray for Kenny and Pastor Sam. We pray for healing, God. We pray that you will come. We just want to rebuke the sickness right now in Jesus' name. Whatever is causing it, the infection or the virus that is causing the sickness, in Jesus' name, we command that to be gone. The coughing and the illness and the pain to be gone in Jesus' name, for their bodies to come into full wholeness. By your stripes we are healed, God. And you carried our infirmities, God, to the cross, Lord. So, Lord Jesus, we know that healing is ours, and we just trust you, and we just pray for your healing to come upon them. And we thank you. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.